I said, all right, enough of this fun. Heaven, when we get to chat and laugh and enjoy each other for eternity. All right, we are in the Gospel of Luke. If you're new, you can be opening up your apps and turning the pages of your phone so you know whether to turn or swipe. I realize that's kind of your option. Or look up here. And welcome to all those also that are joining us online. And we're in a sermon series called Paradigm Shift. Just this simple idea that, man, we need a shift. We need that shift, a 180, not just, I'm talking about believing in God, but just even our understanding. Nobody becomes a Christian that doesn't need a paradigm shift in knowing him better and themselves and big picture stuff, which we'll be getting into this morning. So even before we get into that, we are in the last week, we'll be in chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, in case you're wondering where to turn to, and we'll be starting with verse 5. But we are in what's something called the Olive Discourse, for those of you that aren't sure about it. You've all heard of Sermon on the Mount from Matthew, maybe Sermon on the Plain from Luke, the Beatitudes, things like that. But this is actually like another sermon. He has finished his 3 years of demonstrating God's love and through miracles and amazing teaching. And he is now in the last week, the religious leaders of all types confronted him with their toughest theological questions, and they couldn't stump him. And now he is turning to his followers, and in the which is not part of the passage this morning, but it's called the Olivet Discourse, because in the last two verses of chapter 21, it says, and every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And so I just want to give you a picture of that before we pray and read. And so I think we have a slide of that. And awesome. And so here's the temple. Here's the temple within Herod's great palace. And here is Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we know he prayed the last night. And so he's traveling from here out the gates to somewhere. We don't know exactly where. He stayed the night, Motel 8 or something. He went there and he went there to be with his closest disciples to recharge in his Father in heaven in the Spirit and pray. So just kind of wanted to give you a little background. It's important to have this picture, this imagery, right? So in this, you know, let me just ask, by what are the troubles in your life? We are certainly in a time, and the sermon is called Enduring Through the Troubles. Anyone feel like they need to endure a little bit? See, have a mandate to wear masks again just when we thought we were done with that. And then we have illnesses and loved ones getting sick. We have the troubles of supply and demand. And all that's just the outward circumstances, but more deeply is what's happening in our heart, our minds, in these trying times, right? The cool thing is that we can endure through all troubles if we listen to and believe what Jesus teaches and who endured the cross. So somebody that could endure all the hardships leading up to the cross and crucifixion, and even the desertion of those closest to him, he is one to listen to in how to endure. Amen. So let's pray, and let's kind of jump into this. Well, Father, we come in your Son's name. Jesus Christ, Son of God. And we come, Jesus, calling upon you. These are your words this morning, all of them. And I just begin humbly asking your Holy Spirit to help me present you in your teachings, because we need you. We need your truth, but we need more than knowledge. We need your presence. And Lord, also just help us see how this connects to life, the life we live in these modern day times, because the challenges have not changed and our need of you has only increased. So meet us this morning in this part of the worship service in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. All right. And as way of kind of lead in to the passage, the first of his teaching Sarah brought to us last Sunday in a wonderful sermon called It's All About Your Position, where she helped us understand the position of pride versus the position of humility. And that's really the beginning point Jesus used to help us understand now how to endure through troubles, and that our need to humble our hearts and trust him in these things. So starting with verse 5, I want to read the whole section. It's a long section, and it's verses 5 through 24. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, as for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. They asked him, teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And he said, see that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated for all my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are about in the country enter it, for these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. It's a lot there. And remember, the key verse, and I want to put that up there, and by the way, for those visiting also, We always provide an outline in your bulletins, and there's always more in back, or you can find it on the PDF on the website. So the key verse is verse 18. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. It's only the second time Jesus has used that word. The first time was in the telling of the parable of the soils. And the good soil, and there's words, the same word can be translated steadfastness or patience. Endurance. But the good soil that endures has much fruit. So within this word endurance, and then it becomes such a key word in the lips of all the following writers. They all have Paul and James and Peter, and they all have things to say to the church about endurance. Because after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the church began to experience much more trouble and persecution, and many fell away. Let me say a few things before we kind of jump into this. So Jesus is prophesying. He's prophesying about several things. First, the destruction of the temple. All right? And then he'll talk about the persecution the followers were experiencing. And then he goes further to talk about the destruction of Jerusalem itself. Now, the thing with about prophecies, they are difficult little things to handle because there's always the question, is that now? Is it immediate? Is it far in the future? So often, the prophecies, and especially in the Old Testament, had double fulfillment, where they were fulfilled quickly in the days of God's people, and other ones had far-reaching foretelling until the coming of Christ. Christ fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, but there's others still to be fulfilled in his second coming. So, in this, I tell you that because in the destruction of the temple, Jesus is now in the role of a prophet, and that literally happened within 40 years of his speaking this. And even the Jewish historian Josephus talked about in AD 37 the rise of some Jewish zealots in Rome had to put it down hard. And so they're actually, it was destroyed by the emperor. Literally happened. Yet at the same time, the things we're hearing this morning, because some teachers might say, okay, this is for the Jews. We know that happened. It's good for us to understand our history as also sons and daughters of God. But actually, this is foreshadowing and symbolic of also some distant things that will still yet to come. So we need to be listening, okay? It's simple. If you feel like you could use Jesus' help in enduring, listen up. He has some things to say to us. The word endurance, excuse me, is simply the capacity to continue to bear under difficult circumstances. So really, Jesus is encouraging us in times of difficulty on how to endure instead of compromise with the flow of culture. How to endure and not give up our faith. How to endure and not be led astray. In verse 18, when it speaks of, because I want to just say a couple things, and then we'll get into the first of the four things he's teaching us, is he says, not a hair of your head will perish after leading into our key verse. You will be hated for all by all for my name's sake. By the way, do you like the irony of that? Jesus' namesake. If you could put one word to Jesus' name, what would it be? Love. And then he saves us. So for all the love you're giving to people in Jesus' name, all the love and of the truth of his teaching, the love as you go bless others, you will be hated for it. Okay? Giving us perspective, which is leading us into our first point. But when he says, not a hair of your head will perish, obviously, of the disciples, only one was not martyred. And if you read some of the church history, you know, it's believed actually there's evidence that even the one disciple who was John, they attempted to martyr him, but it just didn't take. And so they actually sent him off to an island where he wrote some wonderful letters for us. So God had other plans, but he also died. So obviously, what Jesus is talking about is also a metaphor that God's people will not suffer any eternal hurt, damage, because you are in God's hands. Even that gives us encouragement, right, to endure. Are you with me? Okay. So the first of the four teachings of Jesus is that we will endure with a longer perspective. So in verses 5 through 11, which we just read, we are reading, he is telling us already that there is going to be a great destruction. And it comes because we had just heard last Sunday the story of this widow who only had two little pennies to her name and gave, and yet others were giving great amounts in the temple. And so those with them, after just hearing this, it says, and while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, as for these things you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not have been thrown down. Even Christians get caught up in the adornment of things of God, you know, the church, the building, the programs. As in this, it's like, isn't this amazing? This is so incredible. Matter of fact, it is said that Herod's great temple that he helped build, the Temple Mount, exceeded all the other seven wonders of the world. So we're just human beings, and we get impressed by these great things, a perimeter, it was supposed to be almost a mile in size. This was impressive, right? I wonder how, if we get impressed with things in church or even the buildings sometimes, maybe not so much at New Crossing. It's not intentional, but it's, you know, we're in a business park that we've renovated, but inside it's beautiful because of you guys. Aww. But what I'm trying to say, and what Jesus is trying to say, is we are not to be impressed with the outward dressings of religion, but with the inward transformation of ordinary people into Christ's likeness. Amen. Like that widow. I mean, she was gold. All the ones with gold were lead. To put it another way, it's easy to fall in love with the beautiful things we find in God's church instead of worshiping the one to whom they are dedicated. So he says, do not be led away by religious deceivers. Who's he talking to? Who's he speaking to in the future to? Those that go to church. This is not words to the crowd. This is to those that follow. And this would become a major theme of every letter, you know, in the New Testament, because this becomes a major issue that many will be led astray. And it's still true today. You know, we still have people predicting the ends of the future and the followers doing insane things and in expectation of that happening. We have false teaching and what it means to be a disciple, and we end up compromising morally or compromising, you know, that commitment as we go with the current of culture, and the church starts looking like society instead of the church transforming the society. Kind of passionate about that, and I'm surprised. But God's passionate about this. And what's interesting, in the last words that Peter wrote, he wrote two letters that we have in the New Testament. And it's the, that's First Peter. It helps. Okay. So imagine the last things you're going to say to the church. Before you're martyred, he himself was martyred. And the Greek word for martyr has the meaning of witness. So if you are going to be a disciple, you're called to witness. And if you're going to be a witness, you have to be prepared to be martyred. And there are two exits out that way. I'm not here to tickle our ears or, you know, build up the church physically. I'm here to build us up spiritually. Amen. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, the last two verses, Peter says this: "You therefore, beloved," man, that is one of my favorite words for the church. "You are the bride of Christ." And I gotta, honestly, this is not just words. I love you guys. I think you are beautiful. We all have our, you know, blemishes, you know, but we're beautiful. We're the beloved. And so you can see the heart of Peter. "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people." Is that people outside the church or in the church? In the church. This happens. "And lose your own stability, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." Amen. What I want you to see in this is when those words, "but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You see, we need to know God. The way we endure is with this long perspective. And what doesn't throw us off the long perspective is knowing the truth of God's word. So when we read what Jesus just said, we're going, oh yeah. Pandemic, wars, earthquakes. I could have told you that was coming, right? Maybe not all the details. But what's that mean? That means I can have the long perspective that Jesus knew this. He's still in control. He still has power. He still loves me. I'm in good hands in the one who told me this was all coming anyway. And we do what? We do not freak out. And we do not run away from God saying, oh, there is no God. Look at all this. He must not be real. If he was real, none of this would be happening. No, God just said it's going to be happening. But it's important, people, that you learn and study and obey the scriptures, because this helps you to endure. And I encourage you, just read it. And ask God one thing. Show you one thing. Sometimes we get lost in all of it and going, oh, I can't understand it all. That's okay. It's a long journey of knowing God. So a longer perspective, he gives us, so the way we are able to endure is because he gives us a longer perspective on our world's future, and we do not need to be frightened. There's another one in here, and it's, I want to add to this because the other writers add to the need to endure with a longer perspective. So first of all, a longer perspective on our world's future, but the second one, and it's in your notes, is a longer perspective on our transformation. In Romans 5, where we will find that word again, endurance, let me read verses 1 through 5 because they're very encouraging to our endurance. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, believing in Jesus, we have peace with God. That's the most important peace you need. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I'm steadfast, man. I'm not moving. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now listen to this. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, our troubles. Why would a person rejoice in that? Because it produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And it goes on from there. So what happens is that as we go through, as I go through troubles, it's not that I like them, but I'm like, yeah, my character is just about to get worked on. And this is good. We don't change in the easy times. And we don't change when everything's happy. We change when we go through the sufferings. And there is nothing more precious than your character being transformed into the character of Jesus Christ. With a long perspective, we endure through troubles because we know God is in control and our character is being transformed into Christ's likeness. The second teaching. Verses 12 through 13, we endure with a larger calling. And so let's read that one. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you. So now as followers are experiencing firsthand persecution and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. And trust me. When you're in any position or place for Jesus' name's sake, the presence of Jesus is with you. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. I doubt there was a lot of hallelujah of the disciples after he just told them that one. You see, we're called to wait for the return of Christ. But our calling's greater than that. We are called to live peaceful and quiet lives according to the scriptures, but our calling is greater to that. We are called to build up the church with your spiritual gifts, but our calling is greater than that. We are called to share the good news of Jesus' love with the world that doesn't have what you have. In Mark 16, and all the Gospels have the Great Commission in one form or another. You know, we all know about Matthew 28, 19, be, you know, therefore go into the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them, right? And teaching them. But also, just to give you a fresh one of that, is in Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, it's so simple. Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. That's our ultimate calling. And so whether you know, what do you do? You know, and it's like, well, we all have certain talents and gifts that we use to work, and we need to do that. We're parents, and we need to love and raise our children. We're spouses. We need to love and encourage them. You know, we're single, And we're living life to the full without the restrictions of a spouse, as Paul would say, for the kingdom. And all these things are awesome and good, and you're making money, paying bills, helping your employer be profitable according to God's will. But, you know, we need to realize that we're sons and daughters of light in a world that's dark. And the darker the world, the greater the light shines. And we need to be there to tell them about it, right? First Peter chapter 3, again, this time it's First Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. He captures this. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? You know what? Peter's already been beaten. Peter and John and some of the disciples for sharing the gospel. So he's not someone going, you never get hurt. But what he's saying is, sometimes you do, but usually when you live in a society where you obey, you know, who's gonna be harm you? But if you're zealous for what's really good, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord, that idea for his name's sake, as holy, and always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do this with gentleness and respect, having a good courage, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ are put to shame. So, we endure with a larger calling. It's coincidentally, 2 sermons ago, I preached Image Bearer from Luke 20. And that week was the Olympics. And I shared the story of Sydney McLaughlin, who set the world record for the 400-meter hurdle. And in the news article, it said, she was quoted saying, records come and go. The glory of God is eternal. And I no longer run for self-recognition, but to reflect his perfect will that is already set in stone. I don't deserve anything, but by grace through faith, Jesus has given me everything. That's putting it out there for the world to hear. And my next thought is, trouble's coming. Right? And it did. And this week on CBN News, I read in this article, it said in a recent posted video, U.S. Olympic gold medalist Sydney McLaughlin opened up about the toxic nature of fame and the pain she's felt as those around her have rejected her because of her faith in Jesus. She gets real. She gets real. And it goes on, I won't read all of this, but she made a video, and she was very honest about her struggles after setting the world record, not just in the, she set it in the Olympic track and field once and then set it again in the Olympics. And she said she was hurt by the negative feedback and lack of support she received. So listen to this. This is enduring with a larger call. She says, I worked really hard. I've been very cautious of how I carry myself, of the things I post, because I want to glorify God for the name's sake of Christ. I want to be a good example to people, but our world only accepts ignorance. And she says she's feeling very rejected because she gives the glory to God for her success. And she says, quote, people reject truth. I know that they're not rejecting me. They are rejecting Jesus living in me. That's fine. I'm just being honest, like sometimes my flesh has a problem with that. She's not saying, oh, yes, yes. I'm a witness for Christ, and it's easy. She's being honest. that it's very difficult. But then, so that's endure with a larger calling. Listen to now, and this is our next teaching Jesus gives us as a lead-in, endure with Christ's power. She says, quote, I'm so grateful that I have a relationship with God. She's in relationship. That way, that the way I do. Because without it, I think I would honestly be going crazy right now, as a young girl would say. She continued, there are so many things I don't understand about the world, about our sport, about our culture. It makes no sense a lot of the time. I'm praying for healing. Isn't that, she's rejected. She, you know, and instead of being a revel in something so amazing, but because of her faith, in the power of her God, I'm praying for healing, she said. I really hope that people can see that they don't have to live in this world of just hate. There's such a better way. Do we pray for our enemies? Do we pray for those who hate us? Do we bless them? And then even in our first point this morning, endure with a larger perspective, I close with her, I read this last part, and she says, even in triumph, there can be tribulations. But how you respond and the lens is a perspective, in which you view those situations provides an opportunity for growth and change. And there is the, you know, long view of even our character. And she says, I'm beyond grateful for everything that has taken place this year, the Olympian continued. But the thing I'm most grateful for is a renewed mind that has allowed me to look at a video like this and see the changes Christ is doing in my life. There's a long perspective. Isn't that great? It's almost like she listened to this message in advance. So, with a larger calling, we will endure through troubles because Jesus gives us opportunities to share how awesome he is. All right, third teaching, we endure with Christ's power. And we saw that in verses 14 and 15. And listen, I'm giving you lots of scriptures this morning because I led off with saying it's the truth of God's word that helps us endure. And so, you don't have to remember them. They're in the notes. But I just, it's like, it's God's word is living and powerful. And so I thought, this is a morning. I got to make sure that you're hearing lots of God's truth, which, because I know you need help enduring. I know that. I need it. With the latest round, in the MP3 group in Dane County, that pastors that meet once a month, there was a, 28 of us or 30 or whatever. And right at the end of it came, you know, and we've been like, and we spent that time worshiping and praying. And it's like, this is hard. It's hard to shepherd people that are hurting and angry and fearful. And we're hurting too. And now this virus is coming to kick us in the butt again. And now there's new mandates. And you just saw that wonderful worship and prayer time bleed out because at the end of it came the news of all those that were going through another time around. Pastors, too, are like, I don't know if I can endure this. So with Christ, we are changed through the troubles for the better. Romans 15:5, and I won't even turn to this one. I never noticed this before until studying endurance. We know all these names for God, right? And who he is, and he God is love and all these things. But in verse 5 of Romans 15, as it closes, it says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the God of endurance and encouragement. So where are we going to turn when we need it? Right? Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Paul writes this for us, and it's a prayer. When you see "may you," that's a blessing and a prayer. And he says, "May you," speaking to you, the church. And then the Spirit, it's still coming upon you right now. "May you be strengthened with all" what? Power. See, we endure with Christ's power. "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for" all what? "Endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." That is so exciting. You are a saint, believe it or not, with all your sins and failings. You're a saint because Jesus has said so. He puts upon you in exchange for his death, his righteousness. He exchanges his holiness for your sin. How amazing is that? You are a child of light. And you have an inheritance as sons and daughters. You're going to inherit all. Matter of fact, one of the key verses of this whole paradigm shift series is in Luke 15, when the father says, not to just the prodigal son, but he says to the older son who wouldn't come in, he says, "Son, everything, son, I am always with you and everything that I have is yours." That's the theme of this. You're with God. And you, everything that is yours, and he will give it. He's not dead. But he's going to give us, you and me, the things we need in the moment. And that's something to remember. There are too many American Christians going around, "I want to be superpowered, just buzzing with divine electricity." You know? And it's like, it doesn't work like that. We're weak and powerless. But when the moment comes, when you get called on by God to be his witness, to bless someone, to love somebody, to face persecution, he gives you the power when it's needed. Because he wants you to walk in faith. If I was super Christian, I wouldn't need Jesus anymore. And neither would you. So trust him. If you get placed into that difficult situation, you know, they always say, God was almost late again. That's how it works with God. Don't avoid it. Run away from it. Walk into it. And do it. We need to see some more joyful. We need, you know, he says, for all endurance and patience and with joy. Can we please have some more patient, joyful Christians out there? Yeah? Should we clap for that one? I was prompted early in the morning by the Spirit. And for those that are new to God, that's just a way of saying something in my heart nudged me. The Holy, and then we recognize that's a Spirit. And in the morning, I'm not nudged by anything but my coffee. How do I take my coffee? Seriously. Thanks, Tracy. She gave me a tea towel with that. And I was, came to my mind was this man that lives in another city, a father of someone close to me, and he has cancer. And I thought, I need to, and I can't share the names, but for obvious reasons in this story, but I felt the Spirit say, call him. And I knew his Spirit because I hadn't had my first cup yet. And so I knew he had cancer, and he was in the hospital, and he should have been home by now, and so I was like, sure, I'll call and encourage him, God. And but I didn't have his phone number. And so I called this friend to ask for his father's phone number. And this was a Monday. And I found out that he said, oh, my dad's still in the hospital. And they found they didn't get all the cancer. And they have to go in again tomorrow, I think it was, Tuesday. And it's like, oh, that's a coincidence. And so I got the number and I called. And the thing about my friend's father is that he has made it very clear he doesn't want to have discussions about God that he doesn't believe in. And he also does not like to talk on the phone. Two strikes, I'm almost out. And so I call him and ask him, how you holding up? And I just simply say, I felt like I was supposed to call you. I didn't get all weird and spiritual on him yet. And he was saying, oh, they got to go back in, and so I'm still here. I'm hoping to go home by the end of the week. And so he wasn't doing well. And so he told me that his daughter, Zen Master, in California, has written a book, and he's reading that. And because his daughter gave it to him. And at that point, I just felt, you know, we're too timid. We need to take initiative in our conversations and even steer them. Why? Is it for our sake? No, it's for the sake of Christ and their salvation. And as I said, you know, oh, he almost keeps saying his name. You know, I find that books like that, self-empowerment books, books that have Zen or Buddhism, they might have some benefit, but they're really limited to our own power. And I really find that we need a power, a spiritual power outside of ourselves that can handle difficult times, and for me, that's God. He goes, yeah, you know, I have to say that's true about that book. And then he actually said, you know, we should get together and talk more about this. Okay? And so then he's talking about the operation and the large skin grafting he's going to need afterwards to cover up all that had to be cut out. And that reminded me of a book I read for one of my summer reads called Pinned. And I've already mentioned this book in a previous sermon. And trust me, God is moving in your life in subtle ways, and he's going to connect the dots if you listen to his voice. And so all I know, I only know one person, and that's George Topp, who wrote this book, Pinned. And he's the father of Karen, who led worship this morning. And I had met him over all these years, and didn't even know that he had gone through this incredible situation where he got pinned between the tractor on the cover of the book and his truck for 5 hours. And so I tell, and this was up in, no, not the date, 2012, but Dakota, North Dakota. I'm not good with remembering places. And so I say, oh, yeah, I read this book about this guy that, you know, and I told him about the farmer, and his wife had to drive the truck off him, which was iffy. And then he goes, and by the way, this is obscure. This is self-published kind of deal. And he said, oh, I've heard or read that story in the news. And that's Wisconsin. And it's like, he's not even a believer. It's like, what, you know, I'm thinking, what? He goes, yeah, and you know, I could never in the news understand how his wife got that tractor off him. And I'm like, another open door. So I go deeper, and I tell him about this, you know, this farmer, and how he found the power to hold up under being pinned, his legs being crushed, by praying to God for his strength. And that he even had this pad and his paper and a pencil, and he started, after writing his goodbyes, he thought he was going to die. he first wrote all his goodbyes, and then he began to write prayers. I'm telling this father on the phone. And he asked God to be rescued, but in this, the pain got so unbearable, he almost felt like taking his life, I'm telling this father. But then he surrendered his life completely and put his trust of his life in God's hands, I'm telling this father. And this, and then and a strange thing happened, that all that pain went away until his wife came home after 5 hours and got the truck off him. Was I done being tenacious and bold? No. I had his attention. And in closing with him, and I said, by the way, I'll get you a copy of the book. And another coincidence was that Jill was going to be driving out of town and would be near the city, and Jill could drop it off that week. And I said, would you mind, and this is now going totally on a limb, could I read us something? I had Psalm 57 that I felt might be good, and 2 verses and pray for you. Yeah, that'd be good. By the way, we're 50 minutes into a phone conversation. This is the guy that hates talking on the phone and doesn't want to talk about God. And so I read over him, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And then I prayed for him. I would love it if you prayed for me for that second conversation. This was just last week, by the way. So with Christ, we will endure through troubles because he is with us and empowers us to accomplish the Father's will. And the last teaching, and it's brief, and it's so subtle, you probably didn't even see it. We endure with our brothers and sisters. Verse 10, then he said to them, that's it. Jesus is building and creating his church. This is his followers. And I won't read Matthew 24, but the same account of this teaching, Jesus talks about how many will leave and be led astray away from God's family. But I will read to you and have it memorized. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, the writer of Hebrews says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're seeing too many getting pulled away during this troubling times, people leaving the church. But you will not endure unless you endure together. We need one another, amen? With one another, we will endure through troubles because of the encouragement and help we receive from brothers and sisters to persevere, it said, until Christ returns. All right, let's pray. I want to kind of pray in 3 segments, and I want to begin with prayers for the troubles that are happening in the world right now. And then I'm going to pray for ourselves. So, Father, I love that we can pray. And by the way, some of you are going, hey, how come prayer wasn't the 5th one, dude? That's because Jesus isn't finished teaching yet, dude. And we'll learn about prayer next time. But unfortunately, we're going to be taking a 3-week break, so you'll have to come back to church in a month. But do attend those other Sundays also. So, Father in heaven, I want to lift up Haiti to you. Lord, that's I hold it a little more dear in my heart because I've ministered to your leaders there, and I've seen Haiti even in the good times. It's such a poor, suffering country, in the darkest spiritually in the Western Hemisphere. And I want, and we, Lord, want to lift them up in the name of Jesus Christ. And we want to pray relief. We want to pray resources to rebuild fallen buildings. Jesus, that you prophesied this morning that earthquakes would cause. This is not surprising to us, but we're not indifferent or cold-hearted. And we lift them up and ask restoration, and especially even, Lord, as I look at pictures of crumbled churches, we pray that you restore your churches so that the believers that you have there, as sons and daughters of light, can do their, fulfill their calling to bear witness and love. Provide for them. Send angels. In the name of Jesus, we release heavenly resources to Haiti. Lord, we pray for Afghanistan. And Lord, the Taliban are not ones that believe in you, Jesus Christ, and they do certainly not follow you. And we pray protection of all people from them and their hatred and their bigotry and their violence. We pray that you bring safe evacuation of those that would be harmed by them. Lord, you said nations would rage against nations. Well, it's happening. You said it this morning, and we're witnessing it. And we pray for, though, the church. Lord, you have always used persecution to open up doors for your church to witness. We pray for the believers, those that are there, that they will be safe from death so that their mouths can witness to you. Protect the church that is there, even if it needs to go underground, God. We pray your church thrive like it did in Jerusalem. We pray, and then Samaria and Judea, we pray your church will thrive like it did in China when it went underground, God. We pray it, I look forward to, and I pray it's in my lifetime, of how many more believers now are there. We pray even for the Taliban, Lord, that they will come to know you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for ourselves. We're in a affluent, comfortable nation. But we too are experiencing troubles. And I pray in the things that you taught us this morning, Lord, that Jesus, you will help us endure with a longer perspective than we've ever had before, cherishing the transformation of our character, knowing that these are all the things you spoke of. We pray for your endurance to have a larger calling. We've kind of settled down into the couch and we need to get going, Lord, because there are opportunities for all of us to share you and your amazing love, Jesus. And we pray, Jesus, let us become powerful. Let us learn that when we are most weak, your grace gets poured upon us and we boast in our weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon us. We pray that we endure with our brothers and sisters. Bring us back together. Those that have drifted, let them realize there's an emptiness in their soul without their church. And I pray for those here, God. We need each other. I need my brothers and sisters. And let us strengthen one another for your name's sake and the witness to the world. And Jesus, we're proclaiming we will endure until that great day when you return. Amen. Let's stand.